Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host. And if it is the third Monday of the month from 3 to 4, it is the North Phoenix Chamber Radio Hour, starring Chief Executive Officer Guy Erickson. Guy, how are you?
Good morning. I mean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That was quite an introduction.
It's been an interesting Monday, so good afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't feel like Monday, does it?
I don't know. It does for me, but it's been a crazy Monday.
I mean, it feels like a Thursday or something.
That would be nice, and tomorrow would be Friday, and we're done for the week.
Ooh, yeah. TGIF. You know, they've closed a lot of those down, but I went to one at Happy Valley the other day. Still good. Ever been to TGIF?
Yeah. But they have closed a lot of them.
Yeah,
now.
Desert Ridge, Metro, and
59th and Bell.
You know why? I'm curious.
No,
about
and they
that.
Moved out like overnight. They were gone. It was pretty instant.
Yeah, that was weird because it's been around and they're pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
I wonder how many are left. Maybe one in Scottsdale, perhaps. Lone Star, the same thing. And that's a good restaurant. There is one available, though. Camelback, I like that one. Camelback, and I don't know, what is it, like 16th or 24th Street, something like that, right near there. Anyway, this is the North Phoenix Chamber Radio Hour. Always a good time every third Monday from 3 to 4, every third Monday of the month, I should say. And so, Guy, we have a great special guest. Before we get to our special guest, however, North Phoenix Chamber still cooking.
Yeah, things are going extremely well. We just finished up on a really nice luncheon that was honoring our veterans. Had a color guard and a singing group from Shadow Mountain High School.
Oh, nice.
Had a very touching and nice display that was the POW MIA display.
Yeah.
And Colonel Derek Anderson from the Shadow Mountain ROTC did a nice explanation of what each component of that POW MIA table meant and everything. And it was, I've been at several functions where they've had that table there before with the, you know, the chair, and knowing it was designed for the enlisted people or the soldiers and stuff that never made it home or were missing in action. But this was the first time that somebody actually explained each of the components, and it was very nice. Then we had two guest speakers. One was a gentleman by the name of Ethan McCarty, who is the president of the Paradise Valley Community College Student Veterans Group. And then Mr. Larry Hillman, who is the president of the Southwest Veterans Chamber of Commerce. And they both talked about all the programs they have available for veterans. So it was really nice. It was a very nice program.
That is really good. Very important to honor the veterans and the military, no doubt about it. And we will get back to, of course, the North Phoenix Chamber, some great events that are happening
yep.
this month. But let's introduce our special guest for today. Of course, it is John Buck, a cyber liability specialist. I have never heard of such a thing before. John, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is great because cyber liability specialist, that, of course, that's got to be pretty new.
I should say cyber liability insurance specialist, but it's still a specialist in the whole field of cyber liability.
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself first and how you became involved in this field.
Well, I spent quite a number of years as a nuclear survivability engineer, big word, in the defense industry, working for companies like Hughes and TRW, and in the field of nuclear survivability. Now, this field was considered somewhat depressing to most people because we designed weapon systems to survive various levels of radiation that might occur during a nuclear war. But it was a strategy of mutual assured destruction used during the Cold War, and where it guaranteed that no one could win in a nuclear exchange. And as you can see, it has worked all these years, at least so far. So when I left the field of nuclear survivability engineering, I spent some time in commercial electronic engineering in several other states, and then moved to Phoenix, where I decided to go into commercial insurance. When I interviewed R.P. Ryan for a position as an independent commercial insurance agent, they asked me if I would take on the new and challenging role of selling cyber liability insurance. And since I had a technical background, I jumped at the opportunity, and so here I am.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, Guy, have you ever heard of insurance with cyber liability?
No, but I can see with everything that goes on today, it's probably something good to have.
Yeah, I mean,
what exactly does it insure, if I might jump a little bit ahead?
Sure. Cyber liability should be considered by any business entity that has a chance of being fined or sued for losing critical data on customers or employees.
Okay.
See, and by reason of cyber threat, if your building burns down and you lose all your data, that's your tough luck.
Right.
If you don't have it backed up. But if that data gets hacked or stolen, somebody can come in with a thumb drive, plug it in and steal your data. It happens all the time. They go out and hack into it. Now that data is in the wrong hands. And they can sell it on the internet and have fake credit cards made with it. They can do horrible things with social media where they know things about you that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what cyber liability insurance is all about, because once a company has been hacked and that data gets out there, and it could be the kid next door in his grandmother's basement, or it can be some guy in Siberia. You know, the Russians are after us crazy now.
Sure.
And once that data gets out there and it gets sold on the internet and they make duplicate credit cards, there could be thousands of credit cards out there being used. And until they figure out that they were stolen, and get them shut off,
mm-hmm.
it can cost a lot of money and a lot of headaches.
Well, John, let me ask you this. You're really being insured for if you get fined or sued,
right.
It sounds like.
Right.
And if you don't, you know, there's a lot of laws these days with, you know, certain professions, CPAs, attorneys, probably doctors, and, I mean, the list probably goes on and on, that if you don't take protective measures, that's when you get fined. Now, if they don't take protective measures, are they still insured? Because I know in some, you know, cases, like if you don't have a valid license, you can't really have auto insurance, I don't think.
Right.
So is it similar to that?
It's similar, but because it's such a new field, there are compliance regulatory agencies out there. PCI is one of them. That's payment card industry. They're the banks and the credit card processing people who process credit card data and make sure it gets transferred properly from one account to another account. They have, because they take horrendous losses, because you know you're not responsible if somebody uses your credit card for that data.
Right.
I've had credit cards stolen. They put $10,000 on it before I got it shut off.
Wow.
I didn't have to pay a nickel.
That's good. You have a $10,000 limit. That's what I'm impressed about.
They
get $100 for me. Who cares, right?
Another thing to do is use prepaid cards that only have a few hundred on it. So if they get it, they can't get much off it.
That's actually sort of clever, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So PCI is up to version 2. It's soon to go to version 3. And they do extensive studies and efforts to make people comply with credit card processing. But no matter what they do, the hackers will get through anyway.
So it's really a game of hackers on both sides.
Yeah.
You need the legitimate legal ones, right?
They're the white hat.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
White hats are the legitimate ones that do penetration analyses on companies. You can hire one, and he'll hack your company. I guarantee he'll get in, no matter how much antivirus, anti-malware, they'll get in because they're that good.
So who's winning the game now? Is it the bad hackers or the good hackers?
That's a real good question because today I'm only going to talk about businesses.
Yeah.
But think about the military. I mean, the government gets hacked into, for crying out loud. They steal war plans.
Oh,
they steal, you know, it's
so that happens.
That's cyber espionage.
And not to get too far out of line, but this is interesting. I believe that. So how do you stay ahead of the bad hackers? Do you hire bad hackers?
You hire good hackers.
or you hire
bad hackers. Well, that's what they did. When I first heard about hacking, the first hacking incident I was a victim of, and it was a joke, was my brother and his friend sticking a paperclip in a payphone and calling me and saying, it's Gary, Mom and Dad are in the hospital, you better come right away. And that kind of stuff the kids do to their brothers.
A paperclip and a payphone?
Well, that's how hacking started.
I didn't know
and
that.
And that's how a lot of your hacking got started, was hacking into the phone system, because it's this huge system. And getting free phone calls.
Wow.
By hacking into your number.
I thought it started with cable TV. You know, you ever hear the black boxes or whatever it's called?
No, that was way later.
Oh, that was later.
Oh, yeah. Hacking's been around since the 60s.
Wow, that's did you know that guy? I had no idea.
No, I didn't have any idea. I didn't know you could make a phone call on a
paper
phone.
Well,
paper
you can't anymore, and I think it's beyond the
statute. When was the last time you called a phone booth?
Yeah, that's right. Do they even have those anymore?
I don't think they do. Oh. Well, then let's talk about your payphone, your iPhone.
Yeah, my iPhone.
They're being hacked into right now as we speak.
They are?
24 hours a day, as long as they're powered on, they're being hacked into.
Wow.
All your laptops, every computer in the world is being hacked to. There are millions and millions of hackers operating thousands of hackers operating on every computer on the Internet. I remember when you'd call somebody in a foreign country, like when I was in engineering, and I'd have to call somebody for something, and there'd be these long delays in phone calls. And that was signals bouncing around satellites to get from their country to your country. Well, then came fiber optics, and they laid fiber optic cables under the oceans. They laid them all over the world. Now it's instantaneous, and that just helps. That just makes it worse. It helps everybody, but it makes it worse because now this massive some hacking group in Russia has instant access to every computer in the world, basically, and they write software that just does nothing but spend 24 hours a day hacking into computers. Every computer's hacked into, and they use them for practice. Before the Target breach, there were thousands of other companies that got hacked into while they learned how to get into Target.
So you mean all our computers have been hacked into?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But if there's nothing there, they just go on? Or?
Right. They look, because you don't have enough for them to get caught to make it worthwhile. So they're going after. They don't want to get caught hacking into your computer. They just want to use it for practice. And then there's another thing called denial of service. This is a form of malicious hacking. Denial of service is when somebody decides to take down the General Motors website.
Right.
And they get in and they write software to get into millions of computers or even thousands all over the country that dial into. That try to log into the GM website all at once, and it can't handle it, so it shuts down.
Wow.
This is called denial of service, and this is a very malicious form of hacking. And cyber liability will insurance that because you can lose millions of dollars of business. You can have people.
Oh yeah, I can imagine that.
Think of a doctor trying to get into a database. He's in the middle of a surgical process, and now somebody's done a denial of service hack attack on that database. He can't get into it. He could have a patient die. This is a result of that.
You know, I've never heard of this stuff. This makes a lot of sense, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's logical and it's scary,
and it can be the kid next door and his grandma. That the perennial joke, the script kiddies are called. They download
the script kiddies.
Script kiddies.
That was a band from the 50s.
Well, maybe it is, but now they call them that because it's they write a script.
Oh.
It's a simple program. They download software for free and they write a script. Okay, at this time at 10 o'clock tonight, try to access the General Motors website, www.gm.com or whatever. Now this gets It gets passed all over the country, and that becomes a denial of service attack.
Wow, that is incredible. Let's take a quick break right now, and I do have a question about a very serious hacking situation, and then we'll get back on this liability, cyber liability insurance. I think this is very important. And this is Breakthrough Thinking. It's the Chamber, North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, I should say, radio hour every third Monday of the month from 3 to 4, and we'll be right back. Back again. You are listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour here on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Guy Erickson, the Chief Executive Officer of the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and our special in-studio guest is John Buck, Cyber Liability Insurance, Cyber Liability Specialist. We've been sort of defined that a little bit early on. So if you've missed that, you can hear a replay of the show on breakradioshow.com under archives, under North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and you can hear a replay of all the great shows, of course, that the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce has had, including this one. And so, John, we were talking about hacking. I mean, it's related to what we're talking about. I have a question, though, and then we'll get on to more of the insurance end, is that have you heard, or do you think it's possible? I think the possible one is a yes, but have you heard of someone breaking in to the military and launching a nuclear weapon at another country? Or is that just a movie that I've seen?
Well, it hasn't happened, or we'd know about it. But
yeah.
But they try. Sure. They try all the time.
So they actually try to launch a nuclear.
Of course. Are you kidding?
That's incredible.
That's where a lot of your cybersecurity started back in the 50s. They had to figure out, and the ARPANET, which is now the Internet, which Al Gore.
What's it called?
It was called the ARPANET.
I didn't know
that. Al Gore says he invented the Internet, and it's a big joke to most people in the industry because the government, in order to. If we get attacked in a nuclear attack, but this is before the Internet. This is ARPANET, where it was the military and the government communicating with each other over the phone system and through computers. And they had to make sure this didn't get – if one place got bombed, it would reroute the information to someplace else so they could control the missiles and control the defense.
Oh.
And that became the ARPANET, and they developed this whole network – of switching computers all over the place to get information to where it needed to be, even if it was destroyed in progress. And then from the Internet came out of that when they went public with it, so to speak, and opened it up for everybody to use.
That is incredible. So that it's sort of scary in that sense, too, then.
Oh, yeah.
That actually there are people hacking away probably as we speak.
And there are sick people out there. It could be the kid next door. It can be the Russian. It could be anybody. But, you know, I've heard of people dying in paramedic ambulances from people using their cell phone. Now they've hardened that up. But that was happening back in the 80s and 90s because the radio waves from the cell phone would get into the ambulance and mess up the heart monitor and kill somebody. And that was accidental. That wasn't malicious. And they had to figure out, well, okay, what do we do about that? But then that gives everybody ideas. Wow, if they can do that, I'm going to go ahead and screw up somebody's surgery or a mammogram. Can you imagine if they hack into a mammogram system in a hospital and create all kinds of false data? That people have cancer, and they do it maliciously for some poor woman.
I never thought of that either.
They can
You're
do,
well.
They can do all that. They can hack into a remote control.
Are you giving secrets out so people now will start?
No. You know why? Because the FBI knows everything that everybody knows. I go to FBI briefings.
Oh, you do?
And they actually – I've gone to briefings where they'll say, okay, who are my hackers in the audience? What'd you do this week? Oh, I hacked this. I hacked that. They need to know because it's almost like they encourage it so they can figure out how to defend against.
You know, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
I never thought of that element, the record. I thought it with IRS, what if they came in and changed all the records there?
Well,
but from a medical standpoint, that is right. Craziness.
Oh, they can. And this brings us to... we talk about PCI compliance for credit cards. The other big one that I talk about all the time is HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A.
Yeah.
That's Health Insurance Protection and I forget all the acronyms now, Act, Portability and Accountability Act, and that's for transferring medical data. If somebody gets in there and hacks, and medical records are now worth 10 times more on the black market than credit cards, because they last longer, they can use them for more things. They can scare people. They can send you an email that says, we have your records, and it shows that you're going to die of cancer next week if you don't buy our medication. They can do horrible things with that information.
And is that happening?
I can't say. I don't know for sure, but I think – or put it on Facebook. How would you like your wife's mammogram to be on Facebook all over for everybody to see that she has breast cancer? You know, or that she has this or that. Think of a personal dating site where you can get somebody's medical records and find out if they have anything you don't want to deal with. But this is why this data has to be protected.
That is amazing.
Yeah, personal data. That's called, that's your personal health records, and then you've got all your personally identifiable data. And that's your driver's license, Social Security, name, address, phone number. Now, name, address, and phone number are out there. We all know everybody's. That's okay. But when you tie that to a Social Security number, you can go buy a house on that. You know what I mean? This gets into all the identity theft stuff, and that's what we're talking about here on a personal level.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And so let's talk a little bit about the insurance again. We talked about it covers if you get fined and or lawsuits just by maybe clients or whatever.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, there's government agencies that can fine you if something goes wrong.
Here's how it comes out. It took 3 months, and I went to an FBI briefing on this on Target, where they mentioned Target. And it's all over the internet. You can look this stuff up. It took something like 3 months before Target even knew they were breached. And this gets in. I don't want to say Target did this or didn't do it, but some people don't like to say they've been breached. And if they don't say it and it gets out there for a long time, they're going to take a bigger financial loss than if they just say, uh-oh, we've been breached, we got to shut off all the credit cards that are out there, and we will mitigate the damages. Now, what they do is they pay fines to the payment card industry because they want their money back for all these credit cards they're having to pay, that they can't get it back. There's all these other costs. They have to buy identity theft protection for all the people that had their cards stolen, their numbers stolen. They have to buy at least like a year, 2 years worth of LifeLock or Kroll or one of those.
Right.
And they have to. Then there's the lawsuits, and they come fast and furious. Target's had, the last time I looked, it was 481 lawsuits already against them.
Wow.
And so now they're saying that the average cost for a company per credit card record stolen is $206. For all these things, and that's just the average. They don't have, and that's just, you know, the beginning. And all the numbers for Target won't be out for several years because there's going to be litigation going on. But then health records is even worse because there's 10 times more. So hospitals, there's database websites you can go to, and you can look up hacking that's going on all over the country. I don't have the websites with me.
So many industries need this.
Oh, my God.
What percentage, if you know, of the companies, industries that need this, let's say medical could start with that, hospital or whatever, doctor's office, actually have this type of insurance? Do you think it's small?
It's small. It's no more than around 25%.
Oh, my. So there's 75% of those being exposed out there that can put them out of business. If you're in, you know, an industry that has high risk. Now, what are some of the high risk industries, would you say?
Doctors.
That would make sense.
Lawyers, because of the incredible data they keep on people.
Yeah.
Of course.
Don't say CPAs.
CPAs.
Oh, he did say that.
Yep. You're another one. And I've got a white hat hacking your system right now as we speak, so that I'm going to tell you at the end of the show how many records we got out of it. And of course, all retail.
Because of credit cards.
Because of, now, the answer I get mostly from retail is, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm PCI compliant. Yes, it does matter. Because all it takes is a waitress in a restaurant that's had a fight with her boyfriend to give away a password, and you can be into, the hackers can be right into their credit card data for the last month or whatever it is. Now, in defense of restaurants, most of them are going to outside services now for their credit cards.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, because they then that service takes most of the responsibility. But restaurants are still extremely vulnerable because people can use what they call snippers. It's an electronic device, and the people use them in Walmart and all places. It's an electronic device that will read the magnetic card as it's being run through the swiper machine.
Hmm.
And they can sit there all day and collect a couple hundred.
Does it have to be part of the credit machine?
No, it can be hidden someplace. Another place they
hide. Like where? I mean, nearby?
Anywhere around the cash register.
And it can read?
It can read the magnetic data off the credit card.
How big is this device?
I don't know. You can go on the internet and see. somebody can be sitting at a table with one. Or somebody can be. People drive down the street with those things and take. And they'll sit outside of a restaurant or something, collect a couple hundred credit card data, and then print fake credit cards right in their car. They have printers right in their car to make fake credit cards.
So how do you guard against that? Not just insurance, but Is there another device that can stop it, like, you know, a block of radar deal or something?
They're always working on more and more ways.
That's amazing.
All I can say.
That's all I can say, yeah.
If there's a will, there's a way with hackers because they want that data. It started out with kids being malicious, and then it got to the and foreign country, big people, and then all in between. Then it got out to where the kids said, geez, I can put myself through college by selling data. They can hack into a system, get all the credit card records, and sell them for $10 a piece on the internet. And that can amount to a lot of money.
Now, I think you mentioned something PCI compliant.
Right.
What is
that? Payment card industry. That's banks and credit card processing companies who anybody that has to be in, take a liability for these things, take a hit. They get together and they say, okay, if you're going to process credit cards, you have to comply with our standards, okay? And then they publish them. And the hackers get the latest, before the ink is dry, the hackers get the published procedures and say, oh, they want them to do this, this, and this, and this. So they're going to be doing all this to comply. Therefore, we're going to work around it.
So if they're PCI compliant, is what you're saying, then they won't be liable for fines?
Yes, they will.
They will still?
Yes, they will.
So PCI compliant doesn't matter.
Well, yes, it does. Oh. Because if you're not PCI compliant, you're going to get
bigger fines.
Bigger fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And bad reputation or whatever, or maybe just blocked completely. Bank will just say, you're out. You're not until you're compliant. They'll send auditors in, just like the IRS. Mm-hmm. They'll send auditors in. But it doesn't stop you from getting fined.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
How about attorneys? Do you have any idea what percentage of big law firms or any law firm has this type of insurance, cyber liability?
Not much from the attorneys I've talked to. A lot of them don't even know what it is yet.
They'll defend their own lawsuit, evidently.
Well, they'll defend. Now, that gets into, you mentioned defense. You're going to get sued. Now, does it matter how good your cybersecurity system is? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's your defense in court.
Wow.
Now you're going to go to court. You're going to have a jury sit, and you're going to have a prosecutor, and you're going to have your attorneys. The prosecutor is going to say they were totally negligent. They didn't do anything to protect that medical data, the customer credit card data, whatever. And they're going to say, oh, yes, we did. And they're going to bring all their expert witnesses in and reports, audit reports. And we run this software, and every piece of software has to be up to date. Every patch, those are modifications, have to be completed. And what happens, what they find is that these companies will install all this stuff and then they forget about it for 5 years. They'll still be on Windows 3.1 or something. and this happens in places you wouldn't think it would happen. Medical offices are notorious for this. You know, they don't have the latest software, the latest anti-hacking technology. So, and this is why you see a huge influx of cybersecurity specialist now.
That
there's
a
whole organization springing up for this.
Is there a trade association?
Oh, yes. ISSA, Information System Security Association.
Wow.
And ISACA, Information System Audit and Control Association. And I'm in both of those.
You know your stuff. You are impressive.
Yes. Thank you.
No, I'm not kidding. Let's take a quick break right now and we'll come back. And you want to stay tuned for this because I just pulled up the hacking convention in Las Vegas, when it will be next year, because we just missed it. And I've heard of this before. We talked about
Absolutely.
It up there.
And they sell software right there to hack.
Yeah, and I think it's a hacking competition, though.
Yeah,
I believe
they have huge competition.
And it's called DEF CON 23.
Right.
Coming right up after this break, we're going to announce where it is, as long as my Google search works. And this is Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour. We'll be right back. And welcome back again. You are listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour every third Monday of the month from 3 to 4, starring, of course, the great Chief Executive Officer, Guy Erickson. Guy, this is really quite fascinating.
Yes, it is.
And a little bit scary and a little bit eye-opening and a little bit like,
I'm sure the majority of the American public has no clue as to all the potential problems that exist.
I
think you're going to see this become a huge industry.
Oh, it is. It is. The number one comment of small businesses, it won't affect me. It's just Target. It's just Neiman Marcus, just Home Depot. Sorry, buddy, it's going to affect you.
There's no doubt, and we're going to get into that right after I talk about DEFCON 23. It says, at least, so you should verify it yourself, but it's going to be at the Paris Las Vegas Casino and Bally's August 6th to 9th, 2015. Greg, you know where I'll be next August. Just to watch and understand and learn a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I like Vegas, too. Okay,
yeah.
But other than that, fascinating. And we'll learn a little bit more about that because that sounds interesting. But let's get back to this cyber liability insurance, cyber liability specialist, in studio guest John Buck. Let's talk a little bit first about the nature of a typical cyber attack that a company can experience. And so let's go over that first, and then we'll go over the type companies that might need insurance for cyber liability. And again, 10 reasons perhaps to buy cyber liability insurance. But let's give your website out real quick. What's your website?
www.rpryan, that's R-Y-A-N, R-P-Ryan, .com, and click on the specialty insurance tab, and you'll get to our page for cyber liability, and then you can put your information in there to request. I won't even say a quote. I'll just say information or a quote because
sure.
I'll be happy to talk to you. People are just now learning about this.
Do you have a phone number they can call? Let's give that out, too. Office or cell? Which one?
The office is 602-992-9700.
That's right.
My extension is 252.
And your cell?
Okay. 3656.
So I would encourage people to call John on this, big or small, it doesn't matter. We're going to go over that a little bit more right now. So the types of companies that need cyber liability insurance the most, who are they?
The types of companies that need it the most are anybody in information technology. This is people who write software, prepackaged software or custom software. Any of the services in IT, consulting, programming services, data services where you host, aggregate, transmit, anything like that. Then all of your retail, anybody who accepts a credit card. And this can be a landscaper who has a swiper on his cell phone. Now, remember what I said about hacking into cell phones.
Yeah.
You could go out and take 10 credit card numbers in a day and have every one of those put into a hack, taken over by somebody, and sold that night on the Internet.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this from a legal standpoint, if you know this. Let's say you get hacked and false identity stuff happens and there's other credit cards made. How do they know it came from your company?
Excellent question. The FBI, in the case of Target, the FBI said we couldn't do anything until those credit cards came out of Russia, because that was done over in Russia, Eastern Bloc, someplace. So these are, the Russian mafia, these are huge organizations.
Oh.
And they're also sponsored by, Russia's saying, yeah, go hack America, and we're probably hacking them too, and I don't want to say too much over the air, but it's a war. It's cyber war. It's an invisible war that's going on, and the result is that they can do, like you said, launch missiles, deactivate, cause power plants to shut down, cause a nuclear power plant to shut down. These are huge.
There's a movie about that.
Absolutely.
About 3-4 years ago, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, this, what they show in the movies nowadays, I haven't seen them all, but almost all that can happen. Bank thefts, you name it. But it took the FBI 3 months or two, couple months anyway, to even know where that data was coming from, because they have to step up to the line between West and East and stand there. Symbolically, they can't go into Russia. And they're in there, CIA and all that, but they can't go in and say, okay, who stole the Target credit card data? We want to know. We're going to arrest you. So they have to wait for all those duplicate cards to get used all through Europe and all through the United States. And now what they do is they have very sophisticated mathematical algorithms all the card usage and figure out where it came from, and they were able to trace it back to target. I don't know the algorithm or how they do it, but they're able to do it.
I could see with a big company like that where you could probably, you know, get a nice statistical sample of cards, you know, fake cards versus the real ones. But I'm curious, like a real small company that has you mentioned, even if you take
five or ten.
I mean, how and this could be, I mean, they could be doing this with similar companies, duplication.
Right.
I'm wondering how they would find that out. That would be a chore, I would think.
Yeah, I don't really know. They have their ways. But
yeah,
they don't, a lot of it doesn't get detected.
Yeah.
And I don't want to let people off the hook for
sure,
for buying the insurance or for doing their due diligence on
cyber
liability.
Yeah.
But, you know, an air conditioning guy can drop his the wind can come up, and they show pictures of this, a woman chasing her dog and the wind blows the critical papers away and people pick them up. Remember dumpster diving back in the 80s?
Yeah.
People go into dumpsters and pull out these old IBM line printer printouts.
Yeah.
People that threw them in there had no idea the value of that data.
Oh.
They had no idea that it meant anything. And they took huge amounts of data. Now it's PC hard drives.
Somebody
changes his computers, and they take the hard drives out and throw them in a trash can. People grab them.
That's a no-no.
And go in and hack them. That's why you have all these recycling services now. They're all certified, and they'll sign off. It's like a Brinks truck driving up to your business, you know, getting this stuff. We have, you know, you have your shredding. I know at R.P. Ryan every week the shredder comes through and says, do you have anything for shredding? And I always take mine in and put it in the shredder. And I'm getting really good at that now. Every little sticky note, if I talk to a client on the phone and I scribble something down,
shred it.
Once it gets in our secure database, I take my scribble notes and either put them in the shredder or have them scanned into our database, and then they put them in the shredder.
And these secure places like Dropbox and others, they can get hacked too.
Oh, absolutely. They've all been hacked.
Jeez.
What's that one where you buy things online?
eBay. They got hacked?
Oh, yeah. We had to change our passwords for them.
How about Amazon? Didn't they just get hacked?
They probably,
I was
going to say,
I think Amazon just got hacked.
Yeah, I heard of that.
They've all been hacked.
They are huge.
They're
that
huge.
Place. Wow. I buy books from them.
I buy a variety of things.
They have this new with the Kindle, unlimited books for $9.99 if it participates. I just tried that. It's like I'm looking at all these neuro-linguistic programming books, firing it right on my tablet, and it's a Kindle app. You don't have to buy a Kindle.
Yeah.
That's sort of cool, right?
Yeah, and you can read it while you're walking down the street
and run into something.
Walk in front of traffic,
which
happens all the time.
You know, he's heard of texting and driving. Texting and walking is a big thing.
Just as bad.
I get bumped into all the time.
Yeah, just as bad.
Usually the youngsters.
Yeah. My future son-in-law had his truck smashed on his driveway. I said, how'd that happen? He got T-boned on his driveway. He says, a kid was texting, and he veered over and hit some parked cars on one side of the street and went careening over to this other guy and T-boned his truck on his driveway. It's funny to laugh at it, but it's deadly serious.
It really is. There's no question. And technology clearly has changed the world, including the dating world. That is just unbelievable in itself. And let's take our final break. We'll come back. We'll have a few minutes, and we'll go over real quickly 10 reasons to buy cyber liability insurance. And maybe if we have a little time, perhaps some questions from a typical cyber liability questionnaire for insurance quotes.
Right. What the carriers are looking for.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to get out.
I think it is too. And this is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour. We'll be right back. And welcome back again. You're listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour every third Monday of the month from 3 to 4. We're here at the headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside the Chief Executive Officer, Guy Erickson. By the way, Guy, I just love your first name.
Well, thank you.
I really do. You don't hear it too often.
It's easy.
It is. It's easy, and if you forget,
well,
you go, "Hey, guy, how are you?"
My actual first name too. I don't. I mean, it's
oh,
not
is it?
Short or anything or
yeah.
a nickname. That's what's on my birth certificate.
I think that is a very, very cool name. Of course, our in-studio guest today is John Buck.
That's a tough name to remember.
That no, that's easy too. Actually,
yeah, yeah.
The buck stops here. That's
JP.
All I can remember.
Yeah.
Cyber liability insurance, cyber liability specialist, had really some interesting talks about a new field that's come up that's very important. You certainly want to guard yourself against fines, penalties, lawsuits. Certain industries we talked about that are susceptible to this. And if you want to hear a replay, go to breakradioshow.com under Archives and North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and you can hear a replay of this show. Let's talk. We only have probably about 8 minutes left, John and Guy. 10 reasons to buy cyber liability insurance. You can go over the most important ones because we do want to end up with certain questions that a typical cyber liability questionnaire for an insurance quote would entail. So what 10 reasons to buy cyber liability insurance? This sounds like David Letterman, the top 10.
There you go. Yeah, start the drum roll. Ask him to dance around.
Yeah, that would be good.
Before I get to my list,
yeah.
I just want to say that 50% of small businesses that have a breach where they get sued and penalized go bankrupt because they can't afford the cost.
Oh, wow.
And yet they're the same people that say, I don't need it because it's happening to everybody else. And that's the nature of the beast. It's just like getting into a head-on car crash. It doesn't happen to everybody,
yeah.
but when it does, it's disastrous.
It
so
is.
10 reasons. Number one, start the drum roll. The high cost of breach notification in the event of a breach. You know, you have to hire just the mailing, just the stamps. And the breach notification, which is mandatory by the government agencies, depending on whether you're PCI or any of the other ones, Sarbanes-Oxley, I haven't gotten into all those. The high cost of notifications is they have to set up special call centers and everything, and that can get into hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Whoa.
The loss of third party, which is your customers and employees. And remember, employees are going to sue you too if their data gets out there.
Mm.
It's not just customers. Results in class action lawsuits that can put you out of business if you aren't protected by cyber liability insurance or if you just don't have a big bank account because nobody's going to feel sorry for you. It's your fault and you're going to get sued. Number three, the data in your network is not covered by standard commercial property and casualty policies, yet it is the most valuable asset you have. I'm reading this because it's so important. How much, you know, just think about how much to replace lost or stolen data, critical data, versus the cost to replace a computer network. 50 computers, server, you know, 5,000, 10,000. I mean, computer equipment is cheap. Then go to Best Buy and be
right.
up and running in an hour. Try replacing all your data if you don't have it backed up. Now, that's number one. Again, your cyber insurance will have no sympathy with you if you lose your data if you don't have it backed up. If you have it backed up, it's still safe from the hackers. It's the stuff that gets taken by the hackers that's, you know, you don't have to burn down. That's just you come in the morning, everything's fine, you go back in business. You've been hacked that night, you don't even know it half the time. That's what'll kill you, and that's what's covered by cyber liability insurance. It only covers protected data, personal data, medical data, financial data, that type of stuff. It does, and you can buy insurance to cover your intellectual property. We all know about that, patents and all that, if it gets stolen. But I'm just talking today about the personal data and the credit card data and the medical data mainly. Information systems are critical to operating your day-to-day business, but their downtime is not usually covered by standard business policies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get destroyed by a cyber attack, now here's where they don't have to take any data. They can just go in and destroy your data. Your computer looks fine. It's not on fire. It's not smoking. It's just been wiped out. So that can be covered by, if it's due to a cyber attack, that can be a covered for you, all the money you lose and the time it takes.
So it's like
you,
business interruption insurance.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you need it now for cyber.
Wow.
Cyber crime is the fastest growing crime in the world, but most attacks are not covered by standard commercial insurance policy. Now, you might have data breach and it might cover some of it, so check your policy and I'll be happy to look at anybody's policy and do a free assessment and analysis. So retailers, they're the ones that they, you know, target, but even the little ones, Credit card crime is worth over $7.5 billion. And this risk is increasingly being transferred from the credit card service providers to the business owners. These people that don't hold you accountable if your credit card is lost, you think they like losing all that money? No, they go, once they use their algorithms to trace it back to your company, the ones they can, they're going to come after you. The ones that they can't trace back, they'll leave them alone.
Wow.
So cyber liability can offset many of these costs, and it's a very valuable insurance policy to have. Your reputation. If you get hacked like Target, you think people were madly in love with Target the next day? I mean, they were unhappy because they right away think negligence, laziness, more CEOs making all that money and not caring about anything.
Now, is that covered too, loss of business, if you can calculate it?
Yes.
Wow.
If you have the right insurance, your reputation can be covered because you have to hire PR firms to get everybody back, and they'll cover that. It can pay for the cost of PR firms and of course legal expenses. You have to defend yourself against all those lawsuits.
You know, so, John, we got
well,
3 minutes left, and I bet if they call you, they can get
they
the rest
can,
of
they
it.
Can get the rest.
But what's let's spend a minute. Questions, typical cyber liability questionnaire for insurance quote.
Here's what they're going to ask you: do you control who has access to your computer network? Does every employee have a password that can get into your critical data? No, you better not. Do you have a firewall between your information system and the internet, and is it up to date? Do you have firewall protections on each of your individual workstations? Do you have a virus protection program in place, and is it up to date? Do you outsource any part of your internal networking or computer system or internet access to others? They have to be covered by contract to make sure that they're doing their job right. Do you have a person responsible for IT security? The insurance companies look at this. Either an outside contractor that makes regular visits and regular assessments, or somebody in your company. They've invented a new thing now called CISO, Chief Information System Officer.
Oh.
That's the guy they can point the finger at.
What's it called?
Oh, security. Chief Information Security
Officer. And that's CISO?
CISO.
In my day, they used to. That sounds like CISO, you know. Like that,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, they've added that.
That's a little different, though.
They've added that to get the guy nervous about, you know, going on vacation before he makes sure everything's done right.
Whoa.
Because if the public says, you know, care. So that's the important thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's give you out your contact information. We got about a minute left right now. And website. What's your website again?
www.rpryan.com. rpryan.com. Easy to remember.
And click on the specialty tab?
Click on the specialty insurance tab, and you'll get to our cyber page.
And your phone number, office and
office, 602-992-9700. Extension 252 if you call after hours. My cell, 602-885-3656. Hope to hear from you folks.
Wow. John, it's been a real honor and pleasure. Cyber liability insurance, cyber liability specialist. Phenomenal. We got to have you on again. This is really
I'll be happy to come on. I've just scratched the surface.
Yeah, there's a lot more to this. And Guy Erickson, North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, just the website, or do you have a...
We got three events that are coming up shortly. On this coming Thursday, we've got a mix and mingle at North Mountain Brewing Company.
Yeah, great place.
That's from 5:30 to 7:30. Next Tuesday, the 25th, we have our networking luncheon. That's at Salute Restaurante at 7th Street and Thunderbird. That's from 11:30 to 1:30. And Thursday, December 4th, we've got a business expo and holiday mixer.
Thank you both. This is great. We got 5 seconds left, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.